Hello, this is Jack from the Total Christmas Podcast, and I want to say a big hello to Bill and Martin. You're doing a great job on the Christmas Overseas Movie Watchers Club show. Now, if you're not familiar with my podcast, you should be, because Bill actually provides a couple of segments for every episode, and I really appreciate that, Bill. Bill and Martin, you've been doing a fantastic job. I love your show. I particularly like the episode where you talked about a film. I think it was a Christmas film. And I think it was from a different country as well. It was really good, but I didn't watch the film because I think it had subtitles. My reading skills aren't the best, but it sounded like it was a really good film. And then I remember the other episodes as well. They're always really good. And I've got to say, 10 years, boys. You've been going for 10 years, and that is fantastic. To keep it going, that... Hang on a minute, what? 2 years? They've been doing it for 2 years. Is that all? 2 years? 2 years, and I've got to send them a message saying congratulations on 2 years. If they were a baby, they wouldn't even be able to talk properly by now. I've heard they can't anyway. Right, anyway, congratulations to the Overseas Watchers of Christmas Movie fan club thing. Well done, Bill and Martin. I love you both very much. Congratulations. Merry Christmas, everyone, and Happy New Year.
Okay, I have to admit something.
What's that?
Mark, I blew all of our budget on the live show in December. Our anniversary show, it's just going to be a little different this year.
How so?
Well, I borrowed a concept from The Office. Remember how they had the Dundies?
Yeah.
Well, tonight we're going to do our show live from Chili's.
Wow, that's awesome.
Welcome to Chili's. Let me show you to your table.
And you're going to have to wear this.
A Chili's polo shirt and an apron? Why would I wear this?
Well, they are our sponsors. And by sponsors, I mean they will let us be here if you can cover some of the table.
What?
I know you were a waiter in your past, so this will be really easy for you. And I said you would wear it for the show.
Do I have to wear all this flair?
We need to talk about your flair.
Good thing I have my 4F stickers with me.
Oh, Mark, this will be so easy. All you got to do is just walk around occasionally, you know, wipe our table, ask some of our listeners what they want to eat. Okay?
Okay.
And... Yeah. I got something special for you.
When you say and or but, I'm in trouble.
Mark, you get to sing the baby back ribs jingle.
I want my festive fans. I want my
festive foreign film fans.
Podcast at Chili's.
I want my bestest fans, yeah.
See, you can do this.
Live from the Crystal Lake Plaza on busy Northwest Highway at the Chili's in front of the Target, it's the most anticipated event of the year, the second annual Festa Foreign Film Fans Award Show. Featuring tonight's celebrity guest presenters, Cameron Westcott from The Real Housewives of Dallas.
I know him.
Bruce Buffer, UFC announcer.
It's time!
James McDonald and Cole Egger, founders of Sweet Balls from season 14 of Shark Tank.
Really?
And Gabby Hanna, former YouTube influencer.
What?
Music is supplied by the Satin Latin, Jake Fontana, and his baby dad orchestra.
DJ Jazzy Jake on the track.
Get ready for a sizzling evening of unforgettable moments.
Oops.
Exciting awards and a whole lot of spice. Check in with the hostess to see if your table is ready. Grab your bottomless chips and salsa, and let's get this party started.
Who's gonna make the gravy now?
The
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them. Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! God is helping!
We are the wild and crazy guys!
But they're both festive, aren't they?
We are the Festive Foreign Film Fans, and here comes the Terrible Twos. Yes, as we celebrate our podcast birthday, we promise you this season we will be asserting our independence, showing more increased physical activity, expressing our aggressive mood swings, and exhibiting some full meltdown temper tantrums. We are entering our toddler stage. And in fact, if one of us is not kicking or screaming on the floor by the end of each episode, you are not getting your money's worth.
And we're almost potty trained.
Don't get ahead of yourself, Mark.
Well, actually, as I'm getting older, it's getting a little harder.
You're going backwards now. So before we move on to our new season, we think it's best to raise a toast to our old one and highlight some of the past year's favorites. But first, let me wave down our server so he can get our order in.
Hi, my name is Mark. Welcome to Chili's. I'll be taking care of you today. Can I get you started with something to drink?
I'll have a...
We need something special. This is our big night, server boy. I will have the El Presidente Margarita. You know, more tequila, less margarita. And get one for yourself, too, if you can. You can leave it on the table and come by and take a sip out of it. Oh, and can we get some queso? And you know what? I'm a little short on time here, so do you think you can get it out soon? I mean, we're here tonight to celebrate our second podcast anniversary and to present some of our 4F favorites.
Yeah, that's smart. At this crowded restaurant during the dinner hour in the summer, that makes total sense. Anyway, we have selected our top three choices of some of the topics that we covered this year in each episode. Movies, music, customs, and my personal favorite, food. Oh, and drink. Plus some new ones, snippets, countries, and trivia. It's a great way for us to look back and honor another surprising year of the Festive Fans. We have traveled to new locations, watched some really great movies, and had a lot of fun, and we hope you did too. If you didn't, maybe tonight we'll encourage you to dive in and do so. Our mission is to encourage you to join our travels and expand your joy at Christmas beyond the artificial boundaries we impose on ourselves. We made our picks separately like we did last year, and we've created our own lists without comparing or consultation. We may have some duplicates like we did last year, or maybe none at all. It'll all be a surprise. And, like the Oscars, we are going to save our best movie choices for last, and we're going to replay our Christmas songs throughout the show before we pick them.
Hey, waiter!
Hey, I'm working here.
Hey!
I got something going on. I'll get to you when I can.
Where's my cherry?
Ugh, Bob, these people are animals.
Hey, yeah, I know. But we're busy here. Can I... The queso? All right, on to best snippets. We lead off with our best snippets. First impressions are so important, And the way that someone introduces themselves often affects how you feel about them. A true first impression only takes 7 seconds to form. So we need to open strong right from the start. We have tried that with our snippets to kick off our shows in very memorable fashion. Some have been hits, and probably more likely, some have been misses. But here are our personal favorites. For the top three snippets, my first pick is number three. You know, the thing is, Mark, I always love it when you sing. It's so great. My number three is Festive Ways to Do the Podcast.
It must
when
be
Mike,
50.
When Mark took on 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Well, you know, Bob, the worst thing I ever did was started to sing. What was the very first song I started singing? Was it from Anna and the Apocalypse?
I think it was, yes.
There's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
That's when we learned this hidden skill.
Do-wop, do-wop. Well, my number three snippet is also on me, too, because I took number three as Mark's butt plug Santa display. After I had to say
the
butt
mayor
plug.
Of Rosewood Court.
Exactly. And you know what? I mean, I'm not actually against the idea someday having a butt plug display. Maybe a Santa and a reindeer. But that was my third one.
Mimi just loves to hear her uncle say butt plug.
I did it just for you, Mimi.
Oh, I thought you meant you do it every year at Christmas. But well, you're going to detect a common theme here. My number two pick for best snippet was when we created our new theme song. And I had my one that was based on a Jingle All the Way. And you came in with your full band, full orchestra, just to show me up.
Well, I always tell people I'm not competitive. But when it comes to singing, I am competitive. And so being able to bring in the big band, right, it was a lot of fun. And I have to do a shout out to Jake because he helped pull the whole band together.
Yes, yeah, and probably led them, I'm sure.
I'm sure he did. And actually, speaking of Jake Fontana, the Sound Pounder, the Satin Latin, he is my number two choice for snippets when we gave him all those fun nicknames. I saw his new bumper sticker on his car. It's Sound Pounder. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, I tell you, Mark, we're on the same wave. Like, my number one choice is the Jake nicknames.
Oh, no
the
way.
Sound Pounder, the Satin Latin. I just can't wait for his new daughter, and we teach her all these new names to call Daddy.
You know, I wonder if Jake will actually introduce us to his child.
I think he's going to keep her as far away as possible.
Well, my number one snippet was the combination of when we made those commercials. I mean, you wrote them. I mean, the Viking Viagra and Lawyers Who Launder and Manvis. I mean, those were flat out funny. And you know, it wasn't only like I was influenced a little bit for my number one because when we played those at our live show, the visible laughter, especially for the Viking Viagra from all my quote unquote friends who are Bears fans was astounding. And I've shared that Viking Viagra commercial across the country of people who I know I'm a Vikings fan. So to me, that was the number one. Those three
commercials. Well, and I like how you still have the Viking carved into your chest hair, like the from Manvis.
And you know what? Of all three, I think the Manvis is a legitimate franchise we can do.
Hey, as soon as I retire, that's our next career.
Just awesome.
We just got to convince Sue and Mary Ellen they got to do the shaving.
Oh boy, we're in trouble.
Ooh, fajitas.
Merry summer Christmas.
Look, you're going to have to wait. I'll get to you, okay? I'll get to you.
I'd like to speak with the manager.
Okay, so food and drink play a central role in Christmas celebration. It serves as a symbol of abundance, togetherness, and joy, and traditions varying by region and culture. Food is symbolic of celebration, and as we have seen, it's an integral part of many cultures worldwide. These traditions create a sense of continuity and connection with heritage, and it is food and drink that often provides the reason for families to get together. Of all the various dishes we heard about the season, these are the absolute must that you all have to try this season.
Because we love the food.
We love the food. Oh, my God. You know, I don't know what I want to be more, a blogger that does food or a blogger that does travel, or be like that Tucci guy who does food and travel, right? Like, I mean, wouldn't that be the greatest job ever?
I'm watching you here in the Chili's. You could be a server.
Well, maybe not. So my number three place for holiday and food and drink is in Brazil, they eat Chesters for Christmas dinner. If you remember, those are the big stuffed birds, right? They have those massive chickens.
The Frankenstein.
Just Google it, dude. Like, these are massive chickens, and I love chickens. So they're stuffed with farofa, which is flour, ham and cheese, wrapped in bacon, served with Portuguese chestnuts. They are called the Chester because it invokes the abnormally large chest or breast of the chicken. Like if you're a breast man, wait, that's a different podcast. Yeah, I would say go eat a Chester. So that was my number three pick.
I just think of a giant chicken or turkey busting through the door and like really? The Kool-Aid man.
Totally. I feel like it'd probably beat me up.
Now, mine might kind of surprise you, and it's only because of the description. So my number three is kapusnica. It's the traditional Slovak cabbage soup. Mm. And the reason why I like it is they said it's hearty, it's flavorful, it includes smoked sausages and ham, onions, sauerkraut, mushrooms, sour cream, hot paprika, garlic, and occasionally dried prunes. Now think about that. That has to have such a distinct, rich, very flavorful. And I thought, I want to try that.
Don't you think that would just absolutely rip through your intestines?
Mark, you know my intestines. The hotter, the better.
Well, I mean, no, not the spice, but just all that stuff. I'm just thinking, like, all that stuff you mentioned would probably create, like, this big gas bubble.
I think it just sounds, all of them mixed together, it sounds awesome to me.
All right, I'll try it. If you make it, I'll eat it. All right, my number two food choice comes from Slovenia. And it has to do with the pataka cake. That's a pastry with walnut and poppy seed filling. Pataka is a cross between bread and cake, and it's made from a pastry dough filled with sugar and spices and walnuts and poppy seeds. I mean, it just to me sounds like eating that after Christmas dinner, maybe a cup of coffee, maybe a little bit of whiskey, and just sitting there by the fire in Slovenia and maybe seeing the president's wife running for a piece of pataka. Sounds Mark, so appetizing to me.
The way you describe that, I'm chewing on the end of the table here. Is there any queso in this place? I am so hungry. And now I have to describe my second choice, which again, so I went with Algeria, Algeria delicacy, which was called burek. It was a roll of pastry stuffed with meat, onions, shrimp, spice, and creamy bechamel sauce. Mm. It's usually baked, but some varieties are fried. They sprinkle it with sesame or nigella seeds, and you can serve it hot or cold. And again, I just love all the combination of all these various meat and spices and...
That sounds so good.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, you know, once again, before we reveal our number ones, it was hard to narrow these down. We go through
incredibly hard.
And it's like, well, all right, some of these, no. Maybe. And then I'm like, well, okay, I have 17 maybes, you know. And this year, fans, if you probably already noticed, but we're doing top three.
I know.
Versus
that
last
makes it harder.
Top five. Which was very hard to do.
Yeah, I found I could narrow it easily down to usually five. Taking the four and five off and getting to three was really hard.
Yeah, think about just even for the Festive Foreign Film podcast, trying to name my three favorite people, you know, someone's going to be left out.
You know, we like to do the live show. Maybe in the summer we should do a food show. The problem is we'd have to find the people from these countries to bake the food.
Somebody, yeah. Okay, so my number one is actually come from Latvia. It's called piargi, or is a crescent-shaped lard and bacon-filled pie. Bacon and lard. Oh, my heart. Or another it's so good. They're small bun stuffed with bacon, yellow onion, and black pepper. They're actually called bacon pies in Latvia. I mean, bacon pie. Like, what genius came up with a bacon pie?
Mark, I am laughing because my number one choice from Latvia.
Oh, my God.
Got the bacon pie. That means we're going to have to make these bacon pies because you got the small buns stuffed with bacon, yellow onion, black pepper, and lard. Oh, my gosh.
That is so funny. Of all the things that we could have chosen from, we both call it the same one.
Yes. More bacon.
More bacon. Yeah. Has there ever been a bad recipe with bacon?
No. The whole idea of bacon pie is just so appealing to me.
I think we should make a commitment to our fans right now that before... because we're going to get busy and stuff with holidays. Before our next live show, we are going to make this.
Anyone who may be Latvian or know anyone who's Latvian that could get us a traditional recipe for this,
yes.
We want to make the bacon pies.
Yes, we will record ourselves and maybe even put some pictures out there.
Like, yes, absolutely. And the recipe. We'll put the recipe out there.
I kind of see dough flying in the air. I see. It's really funny about lard. This is such a random thing, but I was in Jewel. Now that I'm retired, I actually grocery shop. They sell these massive things of lard, these tubs. I mean, I think it's a 50-gallon tub of lard.
Yes, yes.
Or a 5-ounce tub. I don't know which one it was. Yeah, I didn't know they even sold lard anymore.
Here's a random thing. Did you ever watch the TV series Landman with Billy Bob Thornton? He's in it.
Oh, my God.
And he has a daughter. And the reason why, what reminds me, she's going out to sunbathe in the backyard. And she comes to visit him, and he's staying in this house with like four other guys. They're all oil guys. And she's in a bikini, and she wants to go out and sunbathe in the backyard. She's like, do you have any suntan oil? And they're like, no. And she finds a jar of
lard.
Lard. And she puts it on herself and goes out there. So, yeah.
Hilarious. That's all right. You know, maybe that's something we can do for next year. I know we talked about some new changes for year three, but maybe I'll have to come back to this as we start season three. Maybe we need to make a commitment of doing the food.
Yeah, food is, it's pivotal.
I mean, because you guys can't see how much commitment I have to food. If you saw me, you'd say, oh, yeah, that dude likes to eat.
Well, just sitting here in Chili's, you can tell our commitment to food.
Yes, exactly. Bob, would you like to start with an appetizer?
Do you think I should go with the triple dipper or the ultimate smokehouse combo?
Want to spice up your day?
Hey, hon!
Welcome to Chili's.
Pepper in some excitement with Chili's new Big Mouth Bites. The four mini burgers with giant layers of flavor, including bacon, jalapeno ranch dressing, cheese, and sauteed onions. Big Mouth Bites. They're new, and they're at Chili's. Pepper in some wow. Pepper in some fun.
So, it is our familiar customs and traditions that make Christmas such a meaningful and cherished time of year. Customs play a crucial role by creating a sense of continuity through the generations and helping to preserve our cultural identity, which we see as we look all around the globe. We recall how we celebrated as children, and we do the same for our own families. And many of these Christmas traditions involve spending time with loved ones, sharing festive meals, and playing games. And these activities strengthen our family bonds. They allow us to feel connected to the past while also creating new memories for the future. Traditions provide familiarity and comfort, which we often desperately need, especially in times like today when we can feel isolated with social media and political divisions. What is amazing is how much we share in common with our foreign neighbors. So here are some of the best concepts and traditions that we learned about this year. My number three favorite foreign custom is the men and the boys in Ethiopia, play the game,
yes,
the Ghana game on Christmas Day, which is an important part of their Christmas festivities. And like we described, it's kind of like field hockey. They have a curved stick and a wooden ball, and they use a giant field that I think they don't even have boundaries on the field.
Right. Yeah.
Just hit it wherever. What was great about it is it also had historical significance in that in the Ethiopian culture, because it extended back to when there was kings and dukes, and they would play with the commoners, and it was an exciting time because the commoners could go against the royalty and really take them on. The funny thing I thought was the way they described the connection to Christmas was to say, oh yes, this is what the shepherds were doing the night Jesus was born. They were out playing their kind of game in the middle of the night. So that was a very fun one.
It is cool. And two, that was like the one time where if you whacked a royalty upside the head with your stick, it wasn't, you get in trouble.
No, they even had a saying for it, right? Didn't they? Yeah,
they did. Well, Bob, my number three actually comes from Palestine. And it's the procession of the patriarch from Jerusalem. It's a parade that welcomes the Latin patriarch of Jerusalem to the city. It takes like 3 hours for this parade to wind through the narrow, stone-faced streets of the city. There's marching bands and bagpipes, men dressed in ecclesiastical garb, and finally the Latin patriarch himself. And so I just thought it was kind of cool, one, that it was sort of the old country. And I remember in that movie that we saw, it was just really narrow streets. And those streets have been there for thousands of years. So I chose a parade.
What was so funny when you said Palestine, I thought you were going to say delivering wedding invitations by hand to each person.
That was such an interesting movie. Yes. I like that movie.
I did too. All right. My number two, we're going to go to Indonesia and to Bali. And there they had that tradition. Remember, it was called Najat. And it was where the Catholics will cook the food on Christmas Eve that they brought to their Hindu neighbors and shared with them.
Oh, yeah.
And they said that was their tradition on Christmas Eve to thank them for the good relations that they had had for the year, which I thought, what is there a better Christmas message than that?
No, there's not. Giving and being nice to one another.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's so hard too. Like to go, there's so many of these things I wanted to consider. But my number two, I'm going back to Slovenia, the hike of the Krampus of Three Lands. It's a parade with Krampuses, floats and loud music and fire. And once the parade is over, there's a large party with live music and dancing. I just think it sounds so festive and so exciting and probably brings the community together to have fun around Christmas time.
Mark, we are just on the same wavelength
my
this
God.
Time.
You
know,
oh
just
God.
The fact that we're both here at Chili's. But I picked for number one, the hike of the Krampus of Three Lands. I love that only because I remember when we did that, I looked up pictures and it is amazing. The costumes, the elaborate Krampus costumes. Also, they do it at night and they have this parade and people were, you know, carrying fire torches. They had a lot of heavy metal. And I think, what a crazy night that must be. I want to just dress up as Krampus and go over there.
I looked up pictures too, Bob, and it just looked like so much fun.
What I laugh is we don't traditionally here in the U.S. think of Krampus as part of Christmas. But here's my number one Christmas tradition is go to a Krampus festival.
Well, if over the last 2 years, figure of Krampus is just so prominent in Europe. I think of Krampus now when I think of Christmas because of how many times he's come up.
Yeah, well, now my kids refer to me as Father Whipper. I'm reaching all the way back to like our first episode there.
Wow. So my number two is your number one. So my number one, again, it was so hard, but this one, I remember when I was hearing about it, a Norwegian tradition. Is that, and maybe it's because of, I don't want to get too deep, but maybe just the economical pressures over the last 6 or 7 months in the U.S., but Norwegians pay half tax in December, so everyone has more to spend money for Christmas.
Oh, that's right? So nice. Yeah.
I mean, the spirit of the holiday, in addition, less fortunate families in Norway are given a extra Christmas bonus so they can afford to give their children presents and have a nice Christmas. And I just thought, getting a government and a whole
country to sort of rally around a tradition that benefits more people. It makes me actually weep a little bit. Yeah.
You know, what's really funny is I was like, is one of us going to pick that tradition in Peru, the town where they beat each other up? And I thought, you know what? As much as I love that story,
yeah,
it's not Christmassy, and I couldn't pick it. And I was wondering, I'm like, I wonder if Mark will pick it. And all of yours are so good. Well, they make me feel so good that I'm glad neither one of us picked the fight.
I was tempted because I just remember thinking, you know, if I could have one day, there's a couple people I might want to talk to. But is that really the spirit of the Christmas? Right.
Is that,
going back to year one, was it in France where they have like the 2 weeks of peace?
Yes, peace. And you can't, no fights, no fights, lawsuits,
yeah,
nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Yeah, so. No tickets? Yeah.
No tickets, yeah. So.
Well, that is good. I'm glad. So neither one of us picked the fighting one.
Yep.
Oh, and can I get a refill here?
You still need a few more minutes, or are you ready to order, Bob?
I can't decide.
Order up!
Dear God, what is that thing?
The addition of trivia to our podcast was an effort to add a little fun. It was a way to learn about some of the countries and find a way to hand out more stickers, especially the bun squeezers.
Yeah, bun stackers?
Bun stackers, yes. The odd thing is what might have seemed trivial at first instead has continued to foster our global appreciation. These unique and unusual details expand our understanding of diverse cultures. The trivia provides us some specific knowledge that goes way beyond generalizations and stereotypes. And by way beyond, I mean way beyond. When we learn about the different countries, it broadens our perspective and helps us to appreciate both our differences and similarities, which promotes a more interconnected and compassionate world. Of all the world's oddities that we heard this season, these were the most interesting ones to me. And Bob. But my number three was, there's a factory in Costa Rica that turns out 2.4 million of this product, and it's all made by hands and used by professionals, and that was baseballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're Mr. Baseball, so that was perfect for
it
you.
It was. It kind of appealed to that. And again, I think I talked on that show just about the controversy there for a couple of years about the seams being too tight or the centers were too soft, which, you know, was causing a pitcher's pit ball versus a hitter's ball. So that was my number three. How about you?
Well, the first thing I want to say is you were absolutely right what you're saying about trivia. This has become one of my most favorite parts of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's because when we look at these countries and we look at so much of what they do for Christmas, but it's kind of fun to also look at some other factors about that or learn some more things. So it's really exciting and all these crazy things. So my number three was the one, if you could believe it, was the one from Iraq where they found that 5,000-year-old tablet from the Sumerian city of Uma, and I could just imagine all these researchers and archaeologists studying it, and they go through and they figure out the translation, and they discover that it's a receipt for beer purchase from 2050 BC, and they know it was a purchase of a Lulu beer, so 5,000-year-old beer receipt.
It's amazing. They were doing receipts all the way back then. I wonder if they used to compare their receipts to their credit card bills.
And they were drinking beer way back then too, Mark.
Bless it. Bless it. Well, my number two was the trivia question about the Lebanese village named Bashare. And if you remember, there were five famous individuals with the same thing in common from this one town, this little tiny town, which I think at the time they thought maybe had about 27,000. So it's probably less than that. But five famous people there, they're all saints. Five saints
out of the same little town.
Yeah. And Basra is on this mountain and this beautiful cliff. And yeah, they actually call it like the city of churches. I guess so. Five saints come from there. But I just thought that was an amazing stat that I couldn't even venture a guess at when we first asked the question.
What's really funny is you're shaming me. You're picking these wonderful facts, and I am still in the same mind frame. My number two was from Slovenia, Lower Savinja Valley of Slovenia, where they have that famous green gold fountain. And what does that fountain spew? Free beer! Free beer! So, as I put my bucket list of things I have to do, that's on there. It's like the fountain of youth, only it's the fountain of beer.
I mean, I'm with you. I'll go there in a heartbeat. Well, just so you don't think I'm this good guy, always thinks of nice things. Sort of like when we did the Easter episode and I was just talking about all my religious upbringing and how Easter is so important to me. And then I tell everybody that I go golfing on Good Friday. My number one trivia piece was from Norway, where they knit and even make with squirrel fur. Girls make these for their boyfriends, but they're the little thing that in Norwegian, they're called forasa. Or a Vendelute, or maybe just a willy warmer. And so they make these little willy warmers for their boyfriends just to see how serious their relationship really is. And to me, that is Christmas. That is like the number one thing I'm taking away from last year is, A, there are such things as willy warmers. Two, they're made of squirrel fur. And three, I've never got one.
And Mark, what I laugh is, so last year, I think the only thing we had in common was the number one movie. This year, my number one pick for trivia, yes, is a willy warmer. In fact, I'm wearing mine right now. And if you go check out my neighborhood, you'll find a lot of bald squirrels in my yard.
I was wondering, the only thing I didn't like about the name, though, that one, the Forasa. But that's called Little House.
Little House.
I want to find one that's like Mansion.
Yeah, it's the giant house.
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious, Bob. That we are crossing over. Does that mean we've spent too much time together?
I think so. This year, I guess we have. But I do know you've now given me an idea for your Christmas gift because you said you've never received a willy warmer.
I have never received. And if I'm going to receive a willy warmer from anyone but my wife, I would accept one from you.
Service here is terrible. Where the hell's my drink?
We just ordered.
That's always their excuse.
Hey, hold your horses. It'll be ready when it's ready. What do you think this is, the Ritz?
Chili's 3 for 10 presents our signature sirloin steak, aged to perfection and served with a starter and drink for just $10. Dinner with mom, dad, grandma, and her friend Randy, who seems to be a little more than a friend. Together, we Chili's.
Don't go anywhere. The biggest awards of the season are just around the corner. You'll want to see what happens next. Will Bob ever get his queso? Will Mark say, how's everything tasting? Is the quesadilla explosion salad really part of the two for $25 meal? Join us for a thrilling finale to this two parts award show. What will be the best foreign Christmas song? What country is most popular? Will the festive fans pick the same best picture again this year? Everything that you've heard so far is about to change. It's all leading up to that unforgettable moment next episode when you hear Bob exclaim, check please.
Actually, we're done.
Done, done.
It's over. Over, over, it's over.
It's over, kaput, finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.